Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 22nd day of November, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Ishmael. The agenda for today's call is Have No Fear. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shemai, and welcome to the program. Kumri Am Beth. Sorry about that. Callers will be welcome. We do ask, though, if you call in, that you be careful of your language and also be polite to the other people on the call. And we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is muted upon entering the call until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. And then we will answer those in the queue in the order that they're received. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's PastorDan.net with no spaces or anything between Pastor Dan. That's all together. We do remind you the Daily Mail page there is for current events and news tips. And we have a home page. The very first page has been revised to add information for those who wish to help us with a donation. And also that there's a page called Contact Us for anybody who'd like to send suggestions or report anything for us. And also if you just need information on how to send help by the old-fashioned mail route. To my cousins in the different lands, I may parler en français, bienvenue à l'appel, a mis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen bei Anruf. Again, not perfect in pronunciation, but that's to our French, Spanish, and German speaking cousins around the world. And I also want to say if there's a little bit of a difference in the sound quality, I had to use some other equipment for tonight, and having a lot of issues with the hardware and the internet here lately for some strange reason. So anyway, wanted to get on this call tonight and talk about fear because there seems to be a lot of traffic lately that is pointing out the fact that our people are being driven like cattle, and we know who does that. We're just goyim to these folks. But we're being driven like cattle by the different sources of information. Sometimes even the so-called pro-right, alt-right, patriotic, whatever, they control some of those channels as well. So we have to remember that we're being driven like cattle almost constantly. I'm trying to think of the character's name that was in charge of the CIA at one time years ago, back in the 80s. His name is Casey. That's it, William Casey. And I believe he was Jewish. But he said, you know, we will know our misinformation campaign has been successful when everything the American people believe is a lie. So they have been digging their intel agents in Hollywood, in radio, in print media, in the schools, the universities, the churches, medicine, government, you name it, even historical societies, etc. All of them. They've had their agents working to undermine the truth, to basically lead us around like a bunch of cattle. And they often do it with fear. Remember, F-E-A-R, fear. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. So today, we find ourselves in a position where practically everything that we're exposed to has been orchestrated for us to drive us. We talked about the Trump campaign and the fact that they pushed Trump up there for us in order to get the Patriots to calm down and put their rifles away, things like that, okay? So here somebody comes out like he's a white knight out of the blue because we were near a rebellion when Hillary was running because she is so despicable and an outright communist. So they throw another guy in there for us, and he's saying the right things, and we, like good cattle, we were driven over to the Republican side as if that's going to make a difference and that Donald Trump's going to make a difference, and we're told about all these things that are happening behind the scenes, and yet nothing changes. So here we are, almost, well, between a year and a half, 2 years into this complete facade called COVID, and we're still being driven. And criminals like Fauci and that woman Birx and the people in Washington, the people in the medical arena, et cetera, pushing this lie that we have a medical emergency that requires the sheep to wear masks and put these poisons in our body. I mean, it's just utterly ridiculous. So, again, fear is what drives us. And, of course, they want you to be afraid to show any kind of resistance to what these people are doing. And the scripture is very, very clear where it says that we are not to have the spirit of fear but of strength, okay, because of our Heavenly Father, and who came down and put on flesh to walk amongst us to teach us. There were a couple of good articles that recently came out about the fact that the evangelical world, since the 18th and 19th century, have pushed this idea of we have to sit around on our asses waiting for the second coming. When everything in Scripture says that you and me, boys and girls, are the ones that were put here to make a difference, it was you and me who were put here to put this kind of nonsense to rest. And yet they've got the world of the believer mesmerized and lobotomized to the idea that we can't do anything, we're too weak, we're too outnumbered, they're so powerful, they can spy on us, they can kill us, they can do all these things to us, so we'd better just sit down and be quiet and wait for Yeshua to show up and save the day. Well, you can do that, but that's not what the prophets told us. That's not what common sense tells us. It says that you and I have the power, when we work together as a team, to overthrow this. So the problem is you and me, folks, you and me. We need to get together and decide that we've had enough of this nonsense, enough murdering of our children through pedophilia, adrenochrome, sacrifice, abortion, which is just baby murder, and all these hideous, horrendous things that the church world has turned a blind eye towards, all the Satanism, the race mixing, the transgenderism, the homosexuality, every perversion known to man all of a sudden now is okay. It's the new normal. Well, because why? Everybody's afraid of being called a name, afraid of their pension, afraid of their job, afraid of losing their car, afraid of losing their house. See, afraid, always afraid, afraid of dying. As we said on the recent show, you know, our people are so pampered today that inconveniences are enough to drive them into whatever direction the enemy wants us to go, let alone actual suffering physically or even suffering death. So it's amazing. Fear. false evidence appearing real. It's all false. It's fake. It's phony. Everything around us is made up. I was just talking to fellow believers in the last couple of days about the fact that we need to think about the fact that we need to focus on the environment directly around us, what you can actually see, what you can actually sense with your own senses in the world around you, and stop getting all your information off the internet and the mainstream media, because they control an awful lot of that information. And so many times your senses are telling you one thing, but your fear is coming from what you're being told by these outside sources. So we have to trust each other and our communications with each other more so than these controlled outlets, no matter where they come from, especially when what they're telling you doesn't match up with what you're sensing in the world around you. And if it doesn't match up with your own sense of logic, so you just need to throw it away. I mean, again, we're always being driven by fear. So we need to get over that. Now, I noticed Fauci, the criminal that he is, the absolute despot and piece of crap, is now putting out information again that, you know, the people who don't want this poison in their body need to be, quote, coerced or forced into getting it. Right there, it tells you if a criminal like him is pushing for something, that there is no medicine or science behind it, and it's admitted that it is experimental, and it has also been admitted that it has many adverse side effects. So if he's continuing to push it and nobody has arrested this man, this creature, yet, that tells you a lot. Okay? The deep state, whatever term you want for these Zionist pigs that are running the show, they have no intention of stopping. And right now, there is no force in their way. If there were good guys trying to do something, Fauci would be either arrested or executed already. Hillary and her husband, or whatever that creature Bill is, would already be on trial for murder and all the other crimes they've committed, as well as treason. And many of these other criminals, like Cuomo, the Governor Cuomo, Whitmer, the one that just lost the election in Virginia, but we've got another despot coming right behind him. Cuomo leaves New York, and a hag witch takes his place there. So, you know, nothing gets better, does it? Because there are no good guys out there doing any work that I can see. So, again, it gets to Yahweh's people, especially the men. It's the job of the men. Okay, I don't see anywhere in logic or in history or in scripture where it falls upon the ladies to fix this problem. It falls upon the men. I know a lot of men kind of don't want to get involved, but I got news for you. We have to. And take a look at the situation that we have in the States and in practically all the white nations. Do you see the white Aryan male person similar to us here on the call? Do you see us in charge anywhere? I don't see it. I see non-whites, I see women, and I see mulattoes or race-mixed mamzers everywhere in positions of authority. And I see almost no Anglo-Saxon men of faith, men of Yahweh, anywhere with any kind of power. There may be a few token positions at the local level, but once you get up to the state and federal level, it's like we're non-existent. And the few that could possibly be Anglo-Saxon Protestant men are either married to Jews or are financed by Jews, which means they've been compromised. So the true WASP, or white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males who founded this country, are nowhere to be seen. We've literally been disenfranchised and cut out of the controls. And the country's going to hell because of that. That's why your dollar won't buy what it used to. Hyperinflation has set in. That's when nothing gets fixed. Criminals don't get tried. Criminals don't go to jail. But people trying to defend their homes or their children, or to shut down the baby murdering facilities, some people call them abortion mills, they'll go to jail. Or like Uri Call, the son of Gordon Call, he's still in jail. And he never did anything really wrong. He's just the son, and they murdered his father, who was a decorated veteran, who was a tax protester. They murdered him. And since they murdered him, they had nobody to make a token of in front of a jury. So they went after his son. So now Uri Call is still sitting in a damn jail simply because he was the son of Gordon Call. That's pretty sick. Same thing with Matt Hale up there from Indiana. I think he was from Indiana. Matt Hale is still in jail and never committed a crime. But the Jews went after him because of his pro-white stance and advocacy of white people getting together and sticking together, and the fact that this country is white. It was founded by white people, and yet he's in jail because of a paid informant who lied. It was proven he lied for a paycheck, and yet the paid informant who lied under oath, which, by the way, that's perjury, so he should be in prison, and Matt Hale should be extricated from jail because he didn't commit a crime. But the Jews run the country. That's why you're going to pay property tax until you have no property left. They'll just keep increasing the prices, which will increase your tax burden, but since they've taken your businesses and your savings away from you, you're sooner or later going to lose your property. All of you will. And you'll become tenants, which is what Klaus Schwab, the Jew, is bragging about, that you'll all be renters and be happy. You'll be happy because the Jews will demand that you be happy, or they'll kick you off your land. You'll be kicked out of your condo, your apartment building, your house, your farm, your business, because they're going to have the purse strings completely in their control. And again, when you see all of the dictatorial things that are going on, you'll always see that it is a non-white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male that's behind it, just like the woman that's pushing that every bank account be tied to the Federal Reserve. She's Asian and a communist, outright. And yet, where are the patriots? I mean, how much further down this hole do we have to fall, if there's any good guys out there, before they stand up and do something? Now, some people have said that, you know, we should get back to teaching the word more and not so much about current events. And that's a constructive criticism. We do talk an awful lot about the things that are going on. But to me, when Yeshua was here, he did do a lot of the basically tying scripture to current events. Okay? Because they apply. And really, that's what the teachings of Christ and our prophets were for, is to help us with our day-to-day decisions, dealing with the current events that are going on, depending on just what era you lived in. So it's kind of both. We need to teach his word, obviously, but we also need to be paying attention to what's going on. So you have to do both. And part of the problem that we're facing today is we are struggling to figure out what's real and what isn't, because they have literally adulterated history. They've adulterated the sciences. They've adulterated the whole thing about outer space. They've adulterated church history. They've adulterated the scriptures. And they keep us from having access to, like, what's underneath the Vatican and many of these other places where they archive these ancient texts. You and I can't get access to these things. It would be difficult for us to translate them anyway, but the point of it is you and I won't see them. So we have to trust that we're being given actual manuscripts to go by. So we have to put our thinking caps here, because our relationship to the Father is real time, so that we can put our hands on and hold on tight. The Holy Spirit's real. The relationship with your Father in heaven, it's real. It's real time. You don't need a Bible. You don't need an ancient text. You don't need a church. You don't need a priest or pastor in order to have those things. Those are yours. All of us have those. And then on top of that, we have the healthy bodies and brains that our Father gave us to figure these things out. In fact, Scripture even says that. It's the glory of God to hide a matter and the honor of kings to search it out. You and I are kings, men, and our ladies are the queens. Okay? We are the kings that need to search this out. We're to work together as a team and learn line upon line, precept upon precept. We need to put these pieces together so we can figure out what's really going on, because we are being jerked around in every direction today. It's unbelievable. And that's one reason we have such a hard time uniting, because you've got those that believe the King James only, or the Farrar Fenton only, or the Book of Yahweh only, or the scriptures out of South Africa only. Well, here I'm here to tell you, there is no one and only translation to go by. It doesn't exist. So we need to come together on the core values that we do share, so that we can put up a proper defense for ourselves and our families, because it's getting that serious. I mean, when they're talking about being able to drag you out of your home and sticking you with a poison, or to nab your children at the public schoolhouse and stab them without your knowledge, that's war. When Fauci says what he says, they've declared war on you and your family. That's war. You're at war. You just haven't woke up to it yet, because it's not a hot war yet, even though there's bodies piling up. There's adverse reactions piling up. I've lost family and loved ones to this nonsense. So we are in a war. It's a fifth dimensional type war at the moment, but it could always go third dimensional at any time with tanks, bombs, and bullets and bayonets. Right now it's words and hypodermic needles sticking poisons in your body. And it's persecution that if you haven't succumbed to what the beast says, that you have no access to the things that you're used to going to. Now, some of these things that we lose access to, like sporting events and theaters and discotheques and all that, I actually look at that as a cleansing. Really, I mean, come on, let's face it. We shouldn't have been supporting that garbage to begin with. The Jews have their fingers all over it, and they're making money pandering vice and nonsense that is 24/7, just like cable television. Who in his right mind would pay for that today? That trash. Who in his right mind would put a child through the public school system? I mean, really? That's child abuse. Who in his right mind would voluntarily go to a hospital today? Even some of these clinics, these walk-in clinics, who would let one of these MD doctors look after you? I mean, if you have to, you have to, but you got to really, really stop and think about it. Do you want to trust, under the current conditions, these people to do the right thing? I quake at the idea, to be honest with you. And that's my opinion. I'm just sharing my opinion here, but I quake at the idea. As I've said, it's almost 2 years now, and even before that, it was another year that I have not seen an eye doctor or a dentist or a regular MD. I haven't been to any of them for 3-4 years almost now, and most certainly not since this pandemic nonsense started, because, to be honest with you, I don't trust them. And yeah, I could probably use a new pair of glasses and probably needed some dental work, but I'd rather be in the need of those things than suffer from what they could do to me when I'm not paying attention. Like I said, I've lost several cousins. I lost a nephew. I lost my sister. My brother's best friend. My nephew's best friend. All lost over this nonsense. So that hits close to home. So again, I don't trust them. And I would highly recommend that people be very careful with these so-called trusted voices of these so-called experts. I listen to what my Father tells me in heaven, and you folks can do what you want. I'm just passing on what works for me and what doesn't work for me. Now, again, is it a perfect world? No, of course it isn't. Am I in perfect health? No, I've got some issues. Nothing major, praise Father, but I've got a few issues, and pretty much they're my own doing. Not keeping up with some of the preventative things as much as I should. And the good news is that once you get back on track and you get the proper amount of water and take some of the herbs that you've been neglecting and all, the body responds fairly quickly. And I do know another thing, along with this idea of fear, and we need to lose the fear, is fear causes stress. And stress is a killer, folks. Stress is a killer. And I went to stress management training when I was in the power industry, and even in the military, they taught us the same thing, that you need to be able to deal with your stress. You have to manage it. And one of the key things that they taught us was that when you're in stressful situations, you need to make sure you're getting plenty of rest, good rest, and you need to eat a proper diet, maintain a proper weight, and get sunshine and exercise. The very thing that these morons are trying to stop you from doing are the very things you need to mitigate stress. You need interaction with good, positive people, positive energy and positive attitude people in your life. You need, like I said, good food, and keep the body's immune system up, because stress tears it down. And the other thing a lot of people don't understand, stress is caused by change. A lot of people think it's only negative things, like a death in the family, somebody getting injured, loss of job. They think that only the negative things, but getting married creates the same amount of stress as a divorce. A baby being born creates the same amount of stress as a baby dying. Okay, it's the change that creates the stress. The change from the routine that sort of gets you out of your element, if you will. You have to be aware that that is stressful. And if you're under that kind of stress, you really have to pay attention to your health. Mental and physical health. It's imperative, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how to get it across to you any stronger than that, but it's imperative. And I see Ella, which is Angel here, is listening, and she's a retired cardiothoracic nurse. She can verify what I'm talking about. My daughter, who is also a senior nurse, who's currently working as a nurse, she could verify the same thing. So these are little tidbits to tell you as we go forward in this war of how we have to survive. We have to survive this because we have to rebuild this world when it gets taken apart, because it's falling apart all around us. And we have to rebuild it. We have to survive and we have to rebuild it. And the Father, I believe the Father is going to help us do that. I believe that's why everybody is here on the call, everybody that listens to the downloads later on. This message is going far and wide. I'm hearing the results of the things that you and I talk about on this show. It is reaching out to many platforms. I don't know how it's getting there. And Ella just sent me a text and said that I'm absolutely right. So thank you, Ella. So we're here for a reason, and we're reaching out and networking for a reason. And no, we don't agree on everything. Of course not. But I think pretty much the audience here and those that are listening to these shows, and it's obvious they are listening to it, we form a network of believers that is extremely strong and powerful. Because when you carry Yahweh's truth to the world and you represent it to the world, that's a very powerful position. He said often that truth would cut like a double-edged sword. And we know about the book of Revelation, when Messiah is referred to in the symbology, it says that he would cut them down with a sword proceeding from his mouth. Now, what do you think it's talking about? Do you think he's carrying a sword by his teeth, a literal sword? Or do you think it's that you and I, as his many-membered body, when we speak his truths, and we speak truth in general versus the lies that the dark side, the evil ones, are perpetrating upon mankind right now, at a level that's almost breathtaking, the amount of insanity and falsehoods and intimidation and the things that are going on is just begs description sometimes. So we are the anchor for our brothers and sisters around the world at this time. All of us are. You're an anchor, even though you may not feel like it. But there's people watching you and listening to you and observing you that you don't even know about. You don't know. It reminds me, my father taught me that as a boy. He said, don't try to go for the big job as a supervisor or whatever, or trying to get money all the time, trying to get a better pay job. He says, you just keep your nose clean and do your job, and the right people will notice. So right out of the gate, out of high school, I go to the United States Air Force, and while I'm at basic training, there were incidences where my father's words rang in my ears, and I tried to do exactly as he said. I didn't try to be a group leader or a dorm leader. I didn't try to outperform anybody else. I just tried to be the best guy I could be. And since I carried a Bible and went to chapel, the guys would ask me to march them to the chapel on Sunday and back, so I did, because nobody else wanted to do it. And there were times I marched the guys to the chow hall and back, again, because nobody else wanted to do it, so I said, all right, come on, let's go. Well, what I didn't know is that the training instructor, the sergeant, and in my case it was Sergeant Nunemaker had a habit of hiding in places where you couldn't see him and watching what we did when we thought none of the drill instructors were around. So again, my father's words of wisdom ringing in my ear paid off, because when I left basic training, I was awarded an extra stripe that normally would have went to the dorm chief and the squad leaders. They took the stripe away from one of the squad leaders and gave it to me. And that caused some contention with that particular squad leader, but the drill instructor basically said that even though I was not, quote, a technical group leader or a squad leader, I did the job of a squad leader. Does that make sense? And again, I'm not saying this to toot my horn. I'm using this as a real life example of where scripture and the wisdom of our ancestors, when it falls on our ears and we put it into practice, how the blessings come back upon you. And a lot of times you won't see it or know it until later. It fits in perfectly with what Yahshua told us when he presented Yahweh's law and his expectation for us as his sons and daughters. We're supposed to do the right thing because it's the right thing, not because people are watching or because we think we'll get a monetary advancement or we'll get some kind of materialistic gain out of it. That's not motivation for a righteous man or woman. You should do the right thing because it is the right thing to do, regardless of any forfeiture of material or forfeiture of life or monetary gain. You see, we're in the jam we're in because the government, which has been taken over by the Zionist communists, is using your financial institution, known as the Federal Reserve, which is completely controlled by Jews, to create a fictitious money system, digital dollars, and they are assigning digital dollars through their paid-for whores called our government, to where they have so many digital dollars now that they can literally buy off corporations, vice presidents, heads of like NIH and all that. You see what I'm saying? They're using your financial system to basically undermine you and to pay for people who are lying, cheating, and stealing from you and killing your family members. They're paying them. Now, how's that for irony, okay? Our founding fathers told us that your financial system was to be in control of the House of Representatives and Congress in general because of the power that it has. So they wanted the people that controlled the printing of money, your money system, to be tied to that job through you so that you have some power over them. Because if they were found to be guilty of criminality and all, at the very least they would not be elected again, but they could be charged for a violation of their oath of office and be charged and possibly even jailed and then lose their jobs, okay? But the bankers in 1913, the Jews, convinced our ancestors that it would be better to have a, quote, Federal Reserve control of this. And the Federal Reserve is run by, first of all, foreigners. Many of the directors are foreigners. They're not even American. And they're all bankers. They're all tied in with the bankers. So the bankers took over. So, gee whiz, the banking system is run for the benefit of the bankers and their buddies. Not you and me. And now they've used that system to create trillions of digital dollars that they're literally buying people to lie to you. They're paying handsomely the talking heads on TV to lie constantly. People like Fauci and Burks are given big, expensive contracts, etc., to lie. commit treason, beginning the CEOs and the chief financial officers of major corporations to follow suit into this with bribery. They're getting factories and small businesses to force this stuff on their employees through bribery and intimidation. And you're paying for it. You're paying for it. Through their tax system, you're paying for it. So this whole system is evil, rotten, and corrupt from the top down. And we talked earlier about Richard Buckminster Fuller, who had that quote that I like all the time. It says, you don't change things by fighting the existing model. What you do is create a new model that makes the old model obsolete. In other words, you and me create a new paradigm, a new way to live and do business that makes this Jewish-run, corrupt, criminal one obsolete. And there are several states, Florida and Texas among them, where there are substantial people within those states pushing for separation from Washington, not cessation from the union per se, but separation from the authority of the federal government. Basically, declaring states' rights, which is our right to do that. Because we are 50 sovereign countries known as states, but they are sovereign and they are individuals, individual countries, basically. That's why they each have their own constitution, their own governor, their own legislature, their own judicial, their own executive branches, so that they can operate completely on their own. And I remember almost 10 years ago when I read the articles talking about 17 states. This was 10 years ago, maybe longer. 17 states were looking into how to create their own currencies. And we talked about it on this show quite a bit, like Ithaca, New York, and many, like 50 or 60 other cities around the country had created their own local currencies for their own farmers markets and their own businessmen at the local level. And it was working fabulously. So it would do the same exact thing at the state level. Because if we have our own state currency, they have no jurisdiction. Okay? Now, a lot of people will say, well, Dan, they're going to arrest you for counterfeiting. Well, we are a nation of ignoramuses. We've become that. And I admit, I was one until people pointed out some things to me. But it's only counterfeiting if you try to mimic a Federal Reserve note. That's it. If you try to print something that looks like a Federal Reserve note and pass it off as money, that's counterfeiting. If you create your own currency, that's not counterfeiting. Do you see the difference? We have the right, whether it's at the county level, the parish level, or the state level, we have the right to create our own bartering system or the use of our own currency. We have every right to do that. And there are excellent authors and groups of patriots that can teach you how to do this. In fact, one of the people that I hear quoted quite often is a lady by the name of Helen Brown, who is an advocate for, I believe it's an advocate for public banking. And she has a book, which I have a copy of, where she discusses how you do this. And there's others as well, but I hear her name, so apparently a lot of people think she's right on the money when it comes to forming our own currencies within our sovereign states. So we'll take Florida, for example, Texas, or any of the other states that are talking about all this. How easy it would be for us to just simply say, federales, you no longer have any authority here. You have violated every trust that we've had in you at the federal level. Every agency of the federal government, you have violated your trust. So from now on, you're no longer welcome within the borders of our state. You have no jurisdiction here, therefore you have no business being here. Every federal agency would be withheld. Every federal building would be confiscated. And we'll just do it ourselves. And that includes banking. It would not be hard to do at all. And we could do it the way the founders wanted to do it, which is a biblical-based way, where we have almost no taxation. There'd be no income tax, no property tax, no levies. There'd be no registrations and permits required. And you could live as the free men and women that you were designed to be. And as long as you don't disturb the peace, nobody in a government office, and that includes those in uniform, nobody has the authority to be on your property or causing you any distress. Nobody. As long as you're not disturbing the peace. Wouldn't that be a marvelous system where you would own land in perpetuity? Nobody could throw you off. No tax assessor could come and say, hey, you know, you owe us $50 and you haven't paid it in X number of weeks, so guess what? We're going to take your property for that $50. It can't happen under God's law. Can't happen. Wouldn't it be nice to know that that piece of ground, whether it's 5 acres, 10 acres, 15, or even 500, nobody can take it away from you? That you have a place to call home where you could grow a garden so you knew you could eat. There's a well there for water. And you could bathe and take care of your loved ones and your elderly people and your young ones. What's wrong with that? Why can't people envision that? Why do they think this Babylonian system that we've been forced to live under, why do you think it's a good thing? Why would you want to keep it? I personally hope it does go up in flames. So our people will pull their heads out of their asses and start to look at the way things are supposed to be. We got way too many taxes, way too many permits, way too many restrictions on our free travel and building what we want on our property and in our homes. Corporations, if I ran Florida, there would be no corporations in Florida. If somebody came in and tried to start a corporation, they'd be arrested. There'd be no insurance companies in the state of Florida. They're ungodly. You're supposed to be responsible for yourself. The whole idea of insurance is immoral. That's why they're all owned by Jews. The idea that you can pay somebody so that you can be irresponsible? No, no, no. Sorry. No insurance companies, no corporations, no federales, no SWAT teams. Police officers go back to being people of the community and have discretion like they used to have. And they would be respected and loved by their neighbors. Instead of this adversarial crap that we're dealing with today. You see, it's not hard. And I know it's not hard because where I grew up as a boy, that's how we lived pretty much. Back in the 1950s and 60s in the farm country where I grew up, that's how we lived. We knew our neighbors. We talked to our neighbors. We helped our neighbors. We didn't have a police presence. We didn't have bureaucrats constantly coming down our throats. We lived at peace with each other. We worked hard. We lived off the land. We had a big garden. We had spring water to drink. I've lived what I'm talking about. And it was glorious. And it created extremely good health, having clean, crystal clear spring water to drink, garden vegetables. Our chickens and our beef were raised on the farm. We knew exactly what went into them. They were butchered by our Amish neighbors, so we knew exactly what cuts of meat and how they processed it with no artificial anything. And how do I know that that was good? Because when I went in the Air Force and I needed to have a molar taken out, a colonel from the United States Air Force told me I was one of the healthiest guys he ever looked at. And again, not to brag, but to tell you, I've lived it, I've seen it, I know it works. We don't need this Babylonian system. We need our Heavenly Father and His way of doing business. And as Mr. Buckminster Fuller says, we just need to build a better model. And why not a model based on our King of Kings law instead of the law of men, which is corrupt as hell? I sent something out to a bunch of people today that talked about that, and everybody said, well, if you could have somebody who properly interpreted God's law and was somebody I could trust to enforce it as he wrote it, I would be interested. Well, number one, we may not agree 100% on every little jot and tittle of God's law, but there are some key parts of the law I think we could all agree on. I think we could all agree that rape is a travesty, and when God says to murder, or not murder, but to execute the rapist, I think we could agree with that. The person who's found guilty of committing murder should be hung. I think we could agree with that. Do you know how much crime would be gotten rid of just by those two alone if every murderer died and every rapist died? Every person who commits treason dies? Everybody that commits pedophilia dies. Every kidnapper, when found guilty, is executed immediately. Do you know how little crime you would have left? If everybody who's in the bureaucracy was found guilty of violating their oaths, that they were punished properly, do you know how much better our public servants would behave? Again, I'll get back to what our Father told us, and the prophets, and the historical records of our people. When you have a monarchy, all you have to do is find the guy that represents the things you want to accomplish. That's all. Just one guy. Right now, you're trying to look for a governor, a lieutenant governor, a secretary of state, a legislator, a judge, county commissioners, and it's a free-for-all. What you need is the one guy who's got it in his head to do the right things in accordance with Yahweh's law, and he does not deviate from that. Now, do you think we could do that? Do you think we could agree on one guy and put them in charge and watch him? Make sure that he does exactly what he's supposed to do. And if he doesn't, then you do what? You depose him, just like our ancestors used to do. If he veers off the path, you kick him out of office and you elect the next monarch. It's not a dictatorship. It's not a job for life. It's a job as long as you do it right. Now, I want to know who doesn't think that would work, because I know it would. It worked for our ancestors. It will work for Yahshua, who is a monarch. Our King of Kings, Yahweh himself, is a monarch. Why? Because even the experts will tell you, even the academics will tell you, a beneficial monarchy is the most efficient and proper form of government you could possibly have. because it's very hard to compromise a monarch who truly is righteous and for the people. That is why in the Protocols of Zion, the people with the little hats said the very first goals. When the Zionists wanted to take over the world was to destroy the Christian monarchies. Think about that. Think hard about that. The people who want to dominate the world and enslave mankind, one of their first objectives, and they accomplished it with two world wars, was to destroy the Christian monarchies. Ask yourself why. Why did our prophets and our historical ancestors tell us all the benefits of it? Why does Scripture tell us that? Why did Christ tell us that? And even the academics tell us that, if it weren't true. Why do we believe that we have to have this congressional system or parliamentary system that's failed every one of our white nations on earth? They've all failed us, every one of them. Why do you think we need to stay with them?
Well, Dan, it's because, you know, if we get a bad guy in there, how are you going to deal with it? You've got thousands of bad people in there, and you're not dealing with it. Wouldn't it be easier if we found one bad guy to get the elders together and vote him out? Wouldn't that be easier than trying to get tens of thousands of bureaucrats fired when the Zionists control it all? You see, we got to figure out who we want to follow. We haven't done that yet. We're still walking around like we're in the dark, and we have no clue. That's why nothing's getting accomplished, because we're trying to fix a broken system. It's broke beyond repair. There are no parts to fix it. It's broke. It's broke. It's based on lies, deceptions, and the enemy has figured out a way to get around every single solitary thing that was done to protect us. They're all gone. So you got to think outside the box, folks. Sorry, but you do. Abandon this whole Republican-Democrat thing. Even George Washington warned us about that. Two-party system, he said, is the bane of all civilizations. So the founding fathers themselves and George Washington warned us of the dangers of a two-party system. And what do you have today? A two-party system. You have the communists with a D by their name and the communists with an R by their name. No difference. They're both communists. But you think somehow it makes a difference if I elect a Democrat. But you don't elect anybody anymore anyway. You're given the illusion of it, but you don't elect anybody. I would think surely you know that by now. So anyway, we're in a mess, and we're being driven by fear. We've got to get over that fear. And one way to get over that fear is to know who you are, where you're going, who you trust, and have a clear vision of what we're in the middle of. And then that's when faith comes in. If you have faith, it's very hard to be afraid. It really is. You can be concerned. I think everybody should be concerned. Things are pretty much scary out there. But you lose that fear that paralyzes you, because that's what the enemy wants. They want you so afraid that you're literally paralyzed. Okay? And people that are not fearful, it's very hard to manipulate them. Just like this whole thing with the jab, you know, well, Dan, what are you going to do? I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. And my decision is not based on what my neighbors do, what any of you folks do, what the government says to do. My decision is based on me, between me and the Father above. My decision is that
nobody has the right to put a poison in my body against my will without my consent. No, they don't. I don't care what piece of paper they might have. I don't care how many guys with guns and badges come at the door. They don't have the right. And it is a hill that's worth dying on. I don't plan on dying on it, but it's worth dying on. Because if you don't have the right to say what goes in your body, you're already dead. You're already a slave. And you only have as much life as your masters deem. Because as soon as you are deemed unuseful or somehow a threat to them, they'll just walk in and eliminate you because you have no freedom anymore. You're not a real man or woman. You're already gone. As I used to say, you know, a coward dies 1,000 times. A hero dies but once. Not that we're all heroes, but in a way you are. If you take a stand that you're willing to die for, you are a hero, whether anybody else recognizes it or not. Father above does. Father above does. So, to me, this poison, no matter how many talking heads who are completely psychotic, like a Fauci, who should be behind prison bars waiting for a death sentence, no matter how many of these automatons come out with their blowhard statements that you and I need to have this poison in us, I'm not going to do it. They can parade out 100 Faucis. It's not going to change my mind. They can parade out 100 sheriffs or police officers who are communist aiders and abettors. Yeah, they can take me out, sure. But that doesn't mean they have a right to. Doesn't mean they have a legal right to or a moral right to. You see the difference? So again, it makes my life simpler. I'm just not going to do it. Under any circumstances, not going to do it. And I'm proud that I have family and close friends who have made the same decision. I'm proud of them. And their life has gotten simpler too. They're not running around in fear anymore. They have concerns. They're not happy with the way things are. But they're content with the fact that death is actually more welcomed than living under a tyranny and in slavery where they can stick an experimental poison that could possibly damage me or kill me into my family or me. It's really that simple. Now, I was going to read in Colossians chapter 3, but I think we're going to run out of time before I can do that because it's already after 9 o'clock. So you might want to go check Colossians 3 out because there's some words of wisdom in there, even though the writings of Paul sometimes are a bit nebulous to us. But really, when you study the scripture, and again, we don't need to be in total agreement on every jot and tittle of the word, but really, it's common sense. It's common sense. We can talk about the scripture that says if you love your life more than you love the Father, you don't deserve him. That's true. If you love your life more than liberty, our founding fathers said, you don't deserve liberty. And you won't have much life. They'll see to that. Okay? So between our ancestors who wrote the prophets and the scriptures that we have, there's probably a lot that we're being shielded from. They're hiding a lot of things from us. But even the ones that we have, juxtaposed to the teachings of the founding fathers and all, there's so much wisdom there. And again, even in my own circle, my own little circle with my grandfather, my grandmothers, my mom, my dad, just the wisdom that they taught that stuck with me proved to be so true. It's like Thessalonians talks about the Spirit testifies to the truth. And by golly, it does. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is consecrated to the King of Kings, that's the Holy Spirit. Now, there's evil spirits out there, so you got to be careful. That's why it says in Scripture to test the spirits. Okay? Because you can be talked to by evil spirits as well. So you test the spirits. But as you consider things to do, say, ways to respond, things to do, whatever, the Holy Spirit will give you what I call the warm and fuzzy feeling. When I've struggled with big decisions in my life, sometimes it took weeks, sometimes even months of agonizing over a decision to make about my life. Because I wasn't quite sure. I'd had too many things to ponder, and there were too many possibilities. And that's when going to prayer and then just wait for the Spirit of the Father to come over you. And that requires patience. A lot of our people are impatient today. They want an answer like right now. Well, sometimes it doesn't come right now. But one thing I did notice over my lifetime, that when it was in line with the will of the Father, the Spirit would give you a peace that passes all understanding. I called it the warm and fuzzy. That warm and fuzzy feeling that you just know it's right. Just like my decision not to put the poison in my body. I never doubted that decision once. The decision never to put a diaper on my face because some piece of shit in a government building or a government office tried to get me to cover up my mouth. That decision was warm and fuzzy, right from the beginning. The very first time that Anthony Fauci's mug was on a TV set at my brother's house, I said, that guy's lying. The very first time I heard his voice, I had a warm and fuzzy when I said that. I just knew. How do you know? He's the head of the NIH. You know? I just know he's lying. I can tell he's a liar. And guess what? He is a liar. I got the same feeling the first time I heard Bill Clinton open his mouth and Hillary. The same thing when I first heard Barack Hussein, traitor to America, Obama, open his yap. Same warm and fuzzy that this guy is a piece of dog meat. Not a friend of ours. Not a patriot, an enemy, hiding as if he's one of us. I have no problem with that. And I said that. You can talk to my friends and relatives and the people I work with. They'll tell you. From the day he first ran, I said he was no good. Same thing with Bill Clinton. Right from the start, I said he's no good. How do you know? I know. My father knows, and my father passed it on to me. I knew he was no good. You all have that ability. If you can go to your quiet place and listen to the Holy Spirit minister unto you. If you're struggling with a decision, ask the Father to bless it. And then wait for the Spirit to testify. We have a powerful ally on our side. Powerful. We're not going to lose this war. No way in hell are we going to lose this war. I'm not saying I'm going to be here to see the end of it. I'm sure as hell going to work to be here to see the end of it. But that's not a guarantee, and I'm not so pretentious as to try to say what the Father's got in store for me. But we as a people who represent His way of life, His teachings, oh yeah, we're going to be here. And these creatures, like the Anthony Faucis and the Cuomos and Whitmers and the other demagogues in bureaucratic offices that are pushing all of this Zionist communism around us, they're all going to be facing some really serious events in the near future. Really, really serious. So right now, it looks like they have pretty much a free rein, because really up till now they have. But it's not going to stay that way. And again, I'm not putting anything on Q or Trump or the White House. I don't pay attention to any of that anymore. I don't care. I'm not going to pay attention to it. I am following the leading of the Holy Spirit and my Heavenly Father. I know He will not allow them to win. How is He going to accomplish it? I have no idea. Other than the fact that I believe the prophets when they said that Yahweh says that when I bring down this Babylonian system, no man is going to take credit for it. No man, anthropos in the Greek, no white Anglo-Saxon Protestant son of Adam is going to say, I did it. So none of you and none of me are going to get that honor. That goes to our Father. Rightfully so, because none of us deserve it, to be honest with you. I said it many times. If it were me sitting up on that throne, I'd have pulled the plug on this operation a long time ago. There are so few people that you find on a day-to-day basis that are worth a damn anymore. So few. They got their heads screwed on completely backwards. But for the sake of the few that do, just like He told Lot about Sodom and Gomorrah, even if I find five righteous, or as little as 10 righteous, He would have saved the city, but He couldn't even find that many. So for the sake of those that do it right and have their heads screwed on right, He will pull us out of this. And the fact that He wrote long ago that this is the way it was going to go. And He's not a liar. Not at all. So let me, I wanted to put point out just a couple things on in Colossians. Again, this is in chapter 3. We have a lot of words that are interpreted kind of strange as you read down through that. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in the writings here about that we should get rid of our anger, our malice, our wrath, blasphemy, immoralities when it comes to sins of the flesh, things like that, common sense. But you get down here to chapter 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Well, first of all, that word Greek is Hellene, which looks a lot like the word Helen, okay? Hellene in the Greek, that's what the Greeks called themselves. The Hellene, all right? So when you hear the story of Helen of Troy, that probably was saying the female Hellene that lived in Troy, a beautiful woman. But her name actually wasn't Helen. She was Hellene. She was a Greek living in Troy. So when you see in Scripture in the Greek language, when they speak of Hellene, and we put the word Greek in there, they are the Greek-speaking Israelites, okay? And it's often used to say that it's talking about the Gentiles, but Gentiles in today's vernacular is not accurate. It's saying that they were Greek-speaking Israelites, basically foreigners. So since this was written to that church, it was saying those who are not of your area, the Hellenes. So where there is neither Greek nor Judaios, which is the Strong's number 2453 in Greek, Judaios. And we've talked about this Judaios many times. Now in Strong's, they've got it wrong because they're talking as if the word Jew is an actual word, and it's not. Judaios meant a Judean. So in this particular context, so it's saying that there is neither those who are outside of Judea who happen to speak Greek and the Israelites who still remained in the land of Judea and spoke Aramaic or Hebrew. That would be Judaios. So when you look at it that way, it makes sense. But the modern church talks about neither Greek nor Jew and completely blows it out of the water what that is actually talking about. It's just simply saying anthropos, which is the word they use, meaning men with a glow. Anthros is male. Pos comes from the Greek word. It's a shortened form of the Greek word. It means to basically glow, much like Adam in the Hebrew means to have a rough or ruddy complexion, which is Adamic men. We blush. White men blush, okay? So the same thing in the Greek. So neither Greek nor Jew just means you've got brothers and sisters, cousins who from other lands who speak other languages versus those of us that were still in the area of the Colossians. Then it goes into circumcision nor uncircumcision. And yet the Greek words there say right in the dictionary here, they could be metaphorical, meaning those who keep the law versus those who are not keeping the law. Those who have not circumcised their heart and opened it up to the Holy Spirit versus the hard-hearted who do the ways of the barbarians or the unsaved. You see the difference? And yet people sit here and go, well, that's talking about Jews and non-Jews. That's ludicrous. It's not talking about mutilating baby boys. Okay? And this is the King James with the Strong's numbers that I'm referring to here. So, again, you need, like, eSword. I highly recommend eSword. It's a free download. It's got so many resources with it. It's unbelievable. Then it's got the word barbarian, which is barbaros in Greek, just means a foreigner. Same thing with the word that they call soukes or skouthes for Scythian. And bond people is from the doulos. We've talked about doulos meaning literally or figuratively somebody who is in subjection or subservience to another person. Often children and wives were referred to as douloses to the man of the house. So does that make sense? So bond were free, but Yahshua or Christos is all and in all. But again, none of these words are talking about people outside of the Adamic race. And yet today's church world, that's what they're telling you. So that was one of the things in there that I noticed that would get people in trouble. Rules for the Christian household, starting in verse 18, wives or gune in the Greek. Gune, submit yourselves to your own husbands, and our in the Greek language. Okay? Submit unto your own husbands as it is fit in Yahweh, or kurios in the Greek. Kurios being supreme, respectful title for our Father in heaven. Kurios. Husbands, love, agapao, which is the moral type of love, your wives, and be not bitter against them. And children, technon, daughters and sons, child, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto Kyrios, the Father. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Again, the people take this back to a master-slave relationship because of the English translation, but that's not what it's talking about. It's just basically saying, again, if you're in service to somebody, you voluntarily put yourself in service to somebody, then follow through. You gave your word. Okay? Except. And there was something else I wanted to... Okay, I think that was it in there. Those are the stumbling blocks I saw in Chapter 3 for the most part. Everything else, fairly straightforward. But again, Esau, if anybody has a problem with Esau, I would like to know about it. But I have not found it. And also, since we have passed the hour mark, in fact, we're almost an hour and a half, if anybody has anything that there's a question on or they need to report, please call in now as we have some time. Shari's here. Hello, Shari. Glad to see you're here. Dan from Georgia here. Elka, Henry, Lane, Mark, Ralph. Good crew here tonight. Ella, of course. Wyoming. Okay, cool. Nice crowd. And like I said, try not to live in that state of fear. The enemy is doing everything they can possibly do to keep us there because it makes us much more controllable. Okay? So the answer, Ralph put in here that 58th anniversary of John Fitzgerald Kennedy taken out. That's another, a lot of things about that whole episode just don't make sense to me. Fauci would burn at the stake. Yeah, if we had righteous governance in our lands. And again, if I was governor of Florida, I would instruct a citizens grand jury to come up with indictments against these people and then issue arrest warrants. So every county sheriff would be given an arrest warrant for any one of these people. So if they land or come to visit somebody in the state of Florida and we find them, they're going to be arrested. Anybody on official business from the federal government will be arrested. Somebody like Fauci or Hillary or Bill comes to Florida, they'll be arrested. Jeffrey Epstein, who's probably still alive, probably hiding. If we put our people to work, we'll put a bounty on him, and they'll find him, and he'll be arrested. You see, the enemy is using the money system to our detriment, but we could turn around with our own money system and do the exact same thing to the enemy. We have lots of patriots with lots of training at counter-espionage and doing the intelligence type of work, but for the right reasons, we could make it very easy to put bounties or some sort of financial gain for rounding up these criminals. I know lots of people that would love to use their training to take down real criminals, and if you give them a financial incentive to do it, it'll be done. We don't need to get armies of police and military people to do it. We've got an army within our people with all kinds of training. Just give them the right incentive. Point them in the direction of real criminals like Anthony Fauci and tell them you are a green light. Bring them in. And when you do that, we got a big fat check for you here. How long do you think Fauci would be walking the streets? He'll be wearing a bright orange uniform and in shackles in no time. It's not going to be hard to do the right thing. We just have to decide we don't want to follow the broken, failed system. And as Buckminster Fuller said, we want to build a new model. And we will make the old model obsolete. So, very good. Anyway, no reason to be fearful. We just need to stay calm, stay aligned with our Father. Watch after your own households. Watch after yourself. Stay pure, stay righteous. Remember, the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. If you want your prayers to be answered, then be righteous. Okay? If there's things you need to clean up in your world, clean them up. But don't ever stop talking to the Father. Go to those quiet places and have a conversation. That's what prayer is, a conversation with the Father. And no, it won't always be a voice that you can discern. It might be a feeling or a sweeping of the Spirit over you. Or you may get answered later on. You go into your prayer time with the Father with no expectations. You go in as a servant talking to his master, who is a friend, and just make your case, and then be patient and wait for your answer. It will come. It will come. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for all those that are working so hard to make a difference in this world, to bring truth in a world that's just swimming in a cesspool of lies and deception. We ask that you would bless those who are doing the right things for the right reason. Watch over them. Give them strength. Give them courage. Give them good health. Bless them in any way that you feel that they need to be blessed. And we just know that we're going to come out of this thing, Father. But it's difficult. It's hard to deal with. It's creating a lot of stress. So we're just asking that your Holy Spirit would guide us in all the things that we say and do as your sons and daughters, so that not only can we be strong in our work for you, but also be a good example for those around us. And as we go forward, Father, we will give you the praise and the glory. We know this is your plan, your world, your objectives, and that you are the King of Kings. We are not. We can't even pull our own bacon out of the fire. But as your servants, we will prevail, and then we can bring this world back into the state that you intended it to be, where it will be a paradise for all that remain. Forgive us our sins and our transgressions. Help us to be what each of us needs, and to have empathy for our brothers and sisters. And always protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Amen.